Okay, now I've got two people, my next two guests in studio today are Marie Cairns and Kevin Nolan, and they're from the Finglas area, and there's an article in the Dublin People and in the Northside People indeed, and it says the headline is local senior citizens fear for services, and those services that are being curtailed are liaison officer services. So Marie and Kevin, you're both welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having us, Pat.
Okay, Marie, can we start with you? The article in the... Can I just quote a little bit from the article for us? It says, senior citizens in Finglas fear they're being left vulnerable in their own homes due to reductions in liaison officer services at their complexes. So you and Kevin,
yes,
and other people are up in arms about the loss
we
of
are
the
indeed,
liaison
because
officers.
Because we have seen the impact of lack of liaison services. The impact being people have... Dublin City Council are very volatile in quoting that we have alarm systems. Now, these alarm systems should be checked once a week by the liaison officers. Because this hasn't happened, people have tried to use this alarm system. It hasn't been working. And people have been left really vulnerable.
Because of the alarm system?
The alarm system. Dublin City Council are very volatile, as I said, in quoting that. We have been allotted alarm systems in our homes. Now, this alarm system should be checked once a week by liaison officers. It states on the Dublin City Council policies, their general policies. The alarm systems will be checked once per week by liaison officers to ensure they work.
But can I say to you that these alarm systems have been in place since time immemorial, we'll say.
Okay.
Now, it hasn't been the case in quite some time that these alarm systems need to be checked once a week. They generally work on an ongoing basis, and they're not usually used very much to any great extent by people. It's kind of like a last resort, isn't it, for people who would really be in deep trouble, so to speak.
It would, but the situation with the alarm system is, I'll tell you the other end of it. There was a couple there in Kilshane, the wife not being well at all and the husband being prone to having slight strokes and the likes of that. Now, he found himself having a small stroke one morning and pulled the alarm system and it didn't work and it left him totally vulnerable because he wasn't in a situation where he could get next door. So he was there for some time. And if that can happen once, Pat, that's a life and death situation. And if that is your alarm system, they don't work, oddly enough, as you said, they're there from time immemorial. They actually break down quite a lot. There's about five of them there now at the moment, not working in Kilshane.
But can I just say to you, with or without the liaison officer visiting the complex, people in the apartments could still make a call to Dublin City Council and ask, could they have some maintenance people come out and check the alarm system because they're not sure whether it's working or not. And if that is the case, wouldn't Dublin City Council send a workman or a maintenance man or woman out to check to see if the alarm system is working?
That defeats the purpose of it being an emergency alarm system. These alarm systems are in place for emergencies.
Yeah.
Now, they are strategically placed around their homes.
No, but the point I'm making, Marie, is whether there's a liaison officer visiting a particular complex or not wouldn't make any difference to whether the alarm system was working or not.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been checked on a weekly basis, to my knowledge, for a long, long time. There hasn't been a case where a liaison officer has rung a person's doorbell and says, can I come in and check your alarm system and I'll be back next week to do it again.
Well,
it just hasn't been happening.
The problem with the alarm system, Pat, is as what you said there, there's a provision for you to ring Dublin City and tell them. If you ring Dublin City Council for any particular reason, it could be like me, for instance, that was not without water.
Yeah.
Now, that meant no toilet, no washing facilities. I was 2-3 days waiting on someone to come.
Right.
Dublin City Council give you that as an option. If it's anything like the other services they provide and the length of time you wait for it, it defeats the whole purpose.
Okay,
and it's specialised, Pat. Them situations, they're not fixed by, as like an electrician.
Yeah.
They're actually a specialised situation and they need to be cared for.
Well, there's probably a company contracted to come out and fix those alarm systems. Would that be the case?
Yeah, well, there's a company contracted to fix the gates because they're, right. they're zapper gates. Yeah. They can be 3 and 4 days left there without being fixed.
Right. Well, okay. Can we look at the liaison officer situation with regard to people, the liaison officers not being replaced? Marie, your knowledge is that there's 10 or 11 liaison officers have left their either retired or been left their jobs in the last couple of years, I think, and some complexes are now without liaison officers. Is that the situation?
Well, I'm living in Kilshane Court and I haven't seen a liaison officer since September 13.
Right.
I could give you heartbreaking stories of the impact that's having on vulnerable people. I think the alarm system, yes, we've covered that. But the duty of the liaison officer was to check on people. We, for instance, had a very sad case. One of our neighbours was suffering Alzheimer's and suffered in silence, and nobody picked up on that. Mm-hmm. Dublin City Council response to this was that we, as older people, check on each other. We had a duty to each other. They also stress our families have a duty to watch for this. Now, when we signed our
agreement,
we were banned from having any family members stay over in our homes. So now we're in a catch.
Yeah. 22. But I mean, I'm not sure if Dublin City Council are actually saying, and correct me on this if I'm wrong. I don't know whether, are you saying that Dublin City Council are now saying that since they're saying that your family has the onus is on your family to look after you, that it's now all right for your family to stay in your senior citizens' complex?
No.
Is that
yes.
what they're saying?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's contradictory.
Right, okay.
It's majorly contradictory.
Okay, well, look, we got in touch here with Dublin City Council because we have to try and give a balanced viewpoint.
Okay.
Otherwise, the interviews would be totally one-sided. But so I've got in touch with Dublin City Council, and their response was, it's not really an official response, but it is a response. And it says here, Dublin City Council have just been given authorisation to take on 2 temporary sheltered liaison officers to replace one that has retired and one who is out sick. And this is for the complexes you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There is, however, a government embargo on recruitment. This is throughout Dublin City Council. So they had to apply for approval for the above. And these temporary liaison officers will be in place for 2 years. But Dublin City Council also state that they make sure that elderly people are covered if they are vulnerable in the situation.
That's not the case, though. But
Marie assesses vulnerability?
Well, I haven't had an opportunity to
ask
that sort of a question.
Was that not one of the duties of the liaison officer, to assess vulnerability?
Well, I can't say yes because I'm only here as a presenter of the programme and to put your point across and to put Dublin City Council.
But I'll give you an example then, given the way you put it there. Now, we had a situation in Kilshane Court. We had this gentleman lost his way. And was convinced there were people robbing him and would ring the police on a regular basis. That would be logged in the police station in Finglas.
Yeah.
They'd go up there, there'd be nobody anywhere near him. He'd be around asking the people, the neighbours. He was eventually, his sister, who was of the same age group, took him. And now he's happy in a home, if you like, be it. But that went on for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, this liaison officer service has been there for 50, 60 years.
Under a different name.
It was for the first, up until the 80s, it was a warden system where husband and wife did the job. They took up, if you rang the bell then, the warden lived in the complex, was over very quickly and was well aware of your personal situation and your doctor and the likes of it. It worked perfectly. So they replaced them with liaison officers. They in turn were no time at all by becoming every bit as effective as the wardens. The thing being about the wardens though, that they were considered essential up until 3 or 4 years ago. Now they're surplus to requirement. The situation being that 90% of the people at the best of times in sheltered housing don't look for liaison officers. They're not going round roaring and shouting at them, there's this and that wrong. So the liaison officers are there. A lot of the time, their job is, under normal situations, their job, they'd come into the complex, they'd have a clipboard, and they'd visit every home. And all he'd do was ask you where you're all right, and if you said yes, they'd be on to the next. If the next person wouldn't open the door or weren't available, they'd go back to you and ask you, had you seen them?
Yeah.
And on the basis of you seeing them going out early in the morning, and that was grand. If you didn't see them, they'd be back in the afternoon, and they would check. And this was necessary. This is where you have a situation there, like, quoting the Dublin, in the Dublin Northside Peak, people, that there was a gentleman left there for some considerable time dead and wasn't aware this is what's going to happen. This is very, if you leave yourself in this situation, there's no point in, they're trying to replace 31 liaison officers with one person on the end of a phone. Now, that can't work. There's no way in God's earth that you have 31 people, which is reduced now by 11, there's only 20.
Is this? Can I just ask you a question? These 31 liaison officers, are they for one stretch of area?
They would be, they'd be for one stretch of area. But the thing about it is that there's 11 of them gone, and the situation with it is now the people that's left are being given 3 and 4 times the jobs to do. And it can't, and that at that stage then you have the people who are used to the service as it should be are not getting the service that they used to get at all.
Okay. What about, can I just ask you while we're here too, the question of opting out. Some people who live in sheltered housing complexes have opted out of having the liaison officer called to their house. They prefer to just get on with their own lives without, and they might consider it an intrusion having a liaison officer ringing their bell. What's the situation in that regard?
The result of that research, if you like, from Dublin City Council is, and this I'll quote Age Action, it was 90% people opted in.
Right.
So you've 10% of people opted out. If I could just say one more thing, Pat. All this was done, we bought into this deal with Dublin City Council in one sense or another, be it financially or gave up bigger homes, to live in sheltered housing. Now, all this has been pulled without any consultation to vulnerable people.
Mm-hmm.
People were just left at sea. It was just decided by the powers to be to pull this gradually without any consultation. And I find that quite offensive for older people.
Yeah, well, I was just going to make the point to you with regard to people paying substantial sums of money to be allocated senior citizens' flats or apartments. And that situation came about when Dublin City Council bought houses back from people.
Yeah.
And then they'd struck a deal with Dublin City Council. They'd be allocated a flat or an apartment in an area where of their choosing.
That's
not
correct.
Just anywhere they were put. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
And they paid over
a third of the profit.
Well, it could be a substantial amount of money to Dublin City Council for the privilege of moving into a senior citizen's flat and all the security that went along with that. Isn't that right?
All the security. And as we say, we made a trade.
Yeah.
And it's been pulled. And it's been pulled with no consultation.
Okay. Well, Marie, I'm just, like I said, here to put the case across. Dublin City Councils, it seems that their hands are tied because of the government embargo on recruitment. They're saying it's the government's fault that they cannot recruit replacement liaison officers. If somebody retires and they're not allowed hire somebody for their job.
I don't believe that, to be honest with you, Pat. They make a statement like that. That's fair enough. Now, given, you see, they're not giving credit to liaison officers and the importance of the job they do. If that's the case, then the government have a case to answer because they're taking vulnerable people, old, poor, vulnerable people, and they have a service provided, liaison officer service, and it's the essence of sheltered housing, Pat. If they take liaison officers away, the people outside the complexes, the old people who live in there, still in their houses, they have every bit of cover that we have. Only we paid and gave up a three-bedroom house for a one-bedroom flat. And going back to the thing of where your family could come in and look after you, your family really can't. If you've only a one-bedroom flat, how in the name of Christ can you do it if it were, as originally what you had was a three-bedroom? And if you were living alone, as the case would have been now, which are, there would have been plenty of for them to come, plenty of room for them to come and live, be it as it were.
Yes, but the point Dublin City Council are making is their hands are basically tied because of the embargo. And they do say that the embargo against recruitment is not aimed solely at liaison officers. It's across the board in Dublin City Council. They cannot replace any worker that has retired or left their job through illness or whatever. They have not got the means to be able to hire new people, and that's what the point I'm making.
Well, that puts an end to the liaison service then, doesn't it?
Well,
the liaison can't be in existence if that's what the situation is. I can't see that being the truth.
Okay, well, look.
it would completely mean, and like, I know of at least three liaison officers that were a year or 18 months away from retirement.
Yeah.
That can't go on, and still the need is that what they're doing is giving the other liaison officer three or four times to work. And what it's doing is it's still anybody that's really ill, we're in Finglas where it's non-existent, and there's people coming into the complexes now that never knew what a liaison officer was. They don't know that the service was there for them, and oddly enough they haven't done as much as the buying into it now. Like, that's not as widespread as it was when we moved in.
Okay, well, look, this situation seems to be at some sort of an impasse then, because of Dublin City Council saying there's an embargo.
Yeah.
Where do you both see a solution? I mean, really, what can you see happening where the situation will improve in the short and the long term?
Well,
okay, I think consultation with older people would be a nice way to start.
Yeah.
The respect and the knowledge we have is a good way to start. If you're saying there's an embargo, we have to come here to hear this. Why didn't somebody inform us and the vulnerable? And they acknowledge right across the board, as I said, their official website will acknowledge the necessity of this liaison service. And suddenly it's pulled without consultation with very vulnerable people. Where do I see it going? Sit down with all of us, sit down with the people that it has impacted on.
Okay, so Kevin, where do you see the solution coming from?
Well, the one thing that's newest to me, you said something today, that, and it was Dublin City Council got in touch with you, that there's actually two temporary liaison officers coming in.
Yeah.
Now, we're 3 years fighting this. Mm-hmm. They never, and we're here, we're like fools now, like, oh, we're here, we're getting them too. That's the force we've heard of this.
Well,
right across the broader path, you can rest assured that news was, you've got new unique news there, because we were never told about it. And as Marie said, they didn't tell us that the disembargo was there. They could have told us that, and we would have had a harder fight with them. We would have took it to the government then. But why would they find it necessary that we've been at three or four meetings with them? That's never been discussed at all as a reason for not having the liaison officers there.
So see a solution? That's the question I've asked.
Other than, if you have something that works, Pat, like liaison officer service, it worked. They're breaking something that wasn't broken. You know what I mean? It's liaison service, you can never see the good of it until you see, if they save one life, or if they make comfortable for the people that's there, or even their relatives, if they were, like, had, God forbid, not harm with cancer or anything like that, where they're covered. A liaison officer knows, and they in turn would get there on their first name basis with most of the services that would provide service for people that have cancer, or be it Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Losing that.
But look, can I just say then that your group have come together, and you've had an article in the Northside People and the Dublin People, and now you've had this interview with Near FM. So where does your campaign continue, or what happens with you next? I mean, how do you pursue it?
I think it's time now. We sat down with Dublin City Council, and we sat, and I mean, solutions, one off the top of my head, could be a caretaker on site. Somebody with the expertise to deal with older people. Just sit and talk to us. Don't send us bland letters that say absolutely nothing, and then don't not reply if we ask questions that you're not prepared to answer.
Right.
Well, we got a letter from them. As I said, we've been in contact with them, and we've got a letter, and it's identical to when Dublin, when Jack, the North people, when they got in touch with
Jack Leeson
got in touch with them, he got an identical letter where they have this letter. Yours one's different, oddly enough. They have letters. The one with the Jack is new. There's no talk there about two temporary liaison that was being implied. Why wouldn't they tell him? It's only last week.
I have this in black and white in front of me. So it says, and it was dated just Monday gone. So it's here, and it says they've just been given authorisation to take on two temporary shelter liaison officers to replace one that has retired and one who is out sick. For 2 years.
Yeah.
So these temporary liaison officers will be in place for 2 years.
Well,
but then you're actually localising it, aren't you? This now is gathering momentum through Dublin, this lack of liaison services. If we accept, and brilliant, it's not enough, two temporary liaison officers, because you're again localising it.
Right, but your next move then is to get back in touch with Dublin City Council and try and find out whether there's a long-term solution to this problem.
I'm hoping there's someone listening in, Pat, that maybe have a legal mind, because we're lost in terms, and financially we wouldn't be in a position to go and look for how legally we're in, what's involved legally with us, because they're taking something away that when we decided to go into sheltered housing, me family, we all looked. My mother was in sheltered housing, and it was second to none in terms of the way they were looked after. And it's deteriorated an awful lot since then. But nevertheless, even with what they did offer, it included liaison services. I'm telling you now, that's the heart and soul of it.
Okay.
And if my family and me had decided to spend money, and my kids now will be safe in the knowledge that I'm in sheltered housing.
Yeah.
Sheltered housing is not sheltered anymore.
Okay, listen, we're really going to have to leave it there, because I'm just a few minutes away from the finish of the programme. But thanks very much to both of you for coming.
Thank you for having us, Pat.
You're more than welcome. That was Marie Cairns and Kevin Nolan there talking to me about the problem of liaison officers in their particular area of Finglas. You're listening to Northside Light, and that's about all we've got time for today on the programme.